plead his case. Paul knew that the outcome of that, when he testified of Jesus Christ, was going to be that the day was coming soon that his head was going to roll, and it did. And here's what he said. He said, "I think myself happy, O King." I heard a preacher one time preach a message on thinking yourself happy. I think a lot of Christians need to understand the concept of getting happy. Happy is somewhere that you can get and you can live, because it's an emotion that you're in control of. But joy is something different. Joy is a state of being that you can express. Joy is not just something that you feel. It's something that you exist in. It's something that you live in. It's something that is not totally under your control. Joy is not an emotion. It's a fruit. It's an outcropping of what's on the inside of you. And so for a little while this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit. You're going to need your Bibles today. Every time we get in these studies like this, you might as well just keep your Bible handy if you want to follow along, because I'm going to be flipping around a whole bunch. Hey, listen, I'm glad the best study tool for your Bible is your Bible. Amen. And the Bible explains itself. Thank God it don't need no help. My preacher used to tell me, son, the Bible don't need defending. It needs preaching. Amen right there. Hey, listen, it'll help you. If you just look in your Bible this morning, first of all, I got a couple things I wrote down I want to show you about joy. We need to be exuding joy into the world. I mean, listen, the circumstances that the world's in right now should not have any bearing on our joy. Are y'all listening to me? Hey, listen, I'm upset that Trump got shot in the ear yesterday. Are y'all? I mean, I am. It's frustrating. It's scary. But it don't have nothing to do with my joy. See, if that can take away your joy, you was getting your joy from the wrong place to start with. Amen. And so with that, I'll give you my first point here. From what do we derive joy? Where does our joy come from? This is important, because there's some things that we need to understand if we're going to understand this state of joy. First of all, let me show you just a basic joy. Psalm chapter number 118. I'm going to read all these verses. If you can't, I'm flipping there too. I didn't mark them on purpose so I could get there at the same time you did. Psalm 118 and verse number 24. This is basic joy. Here's what it says. Y'all ready for this? "This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice." Rejoice. You know what that means? Rejoice means I've already got joy. I'm fixing to kick it back into here. "I will rejoice." That means I did yesterday too. "And be glad in it." Say, preacher, today's a hard day. Yeah, but this is the day the Lord made. I'm talking about basic joy. There is no day that you will ever wake up on this planet that God did not create and design for you. He does all things well, amen?
Amen.
Hey, listen, God works all things together for the good of them that are that love Him and are called according to His purpose. Amen. That's every day to the week, Sunday to Sunday, Saturday to Saturday. It don't matter what is going on outside of your life, around your life, in that given day. Understand something, we can derive basic joy when we get to the place that we understand that God is in control on the best days and the worst days. I love that song, "The God of the Mountain is still God in the Valley." And some of us really need to get a hold of the concept. I bet the same God that's good on your best day is the same God that's good on your worst day.
Amen.
Basic joy. Every Christian should have joy based on the fact that God is in control. You want to find some joy in your life? I find joy in the sovereignty of God. That means that God is not controlled by any other entity. Nobody's in charge of God. Nobody's directing Him. Nobody is in authority over Him. That means that even though the presidential candidate, former president, got shot yesterday,
God's still God. Amen right there. That's where my joy comes from. Even though, hey, listen, if November comes and the one I don't like gets put in, God's still God. Are y'all listening to me? Listen to me. If it all goes south and America gets took over by some communist government, God's still God. Hey, listen, if my bank account's full, or I could preach right here all day, or if my bank account's empty, God is still God. And God is still good, because He can't be nothing else.
That's right.
Amen. That's basic joy. We ought to have joy in our salvation. Romans 14 and verse number 17. Listen to this. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Now that's interesting, because our earthly kingdoms that we set up, that's all what they're about. What we can consume. What we can add to our boundaries. Amen. How much we can. Brother Brian Cardwell says it like this: get all you can all you get, and sit on your can. Amen. That's how we think in this world. But in the book of Romans right here, the Bible says that that's not how it is in the kingdom of God. It's not about meat and drink, listen to this, but righteousness and peace, and listen to this phrase, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That means that there is joy that can be derived from the fact that God has bestowed upon you His Spirit. Amen. The book of Ephesians says that the day that you got born again, if you're saved this morning, the day that you got saved, the book of Ephesians says that the Holy Ghost of God sealed your redemption. He was deposited into you as a deposit on your coming redemption. There's going to be a day when the Lord's going to come and retrieve you and that Spirit that is within you, because it's going to be there until then. Are y'all listening to me? You want something to have joy in? You ought to get happy about the fact that you're saved this morning.
Amen.
I don't know where we lost that in Christianity. We got to have something that beyond that to make us happy. I remember the days when it was enough for me just to say, hey, thank God I'm saved.
Amen.
I'm not going to hell. Are y'all listening to me? I ought to be in hell, Brother Jimmy. I ought to spend 10,000 eternities in hell, but I won't, and I can't, and I ain't. Listen, because God saved me. Are y'all listening to me? If I can't get happy about nothing else, Hunter, I can get happy about the fact that I have been saved, born again, and sealed with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Joy in our salvation. That's what David said in Psalm 51. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Some of us, that's what we really need this morning. We need to remember. So, hey, listen, there used to be a day when you'd stand up in church during a testimony service and you didn't have nothing to say except for thank God for saving me. I just want to thank the Lord for saving me. Amen. Hey, listen, some of y'all need to just go back and say, hey, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for redeeming me. Thank you for pulling me up out of that miry clay and setting my feet upon the solid rock. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Don't never forget that God saved you. Joy in your salvation. Look at this in Romans 12. We have joy. We can have joy and hope. Romans 12, verse 12. Rejoicing in hope. Romans 15 and verse 13. I know I'm jumping around. Listen to this. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Hey, look up in here. You say, preacher, how can I have joy? Because I've got something to hope for. Mm-hmm. Did y'all know that this life ain't all there is?
Right.
Can I tell you something that you need to know if you don't already? When you close your eyes to this world and this tabernacle of your flesh is laid down, your life is not over. Because way back under in Genesis chapter number 1, God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul. And because of that, every living soul that's ever been created is still alive right now and will be through eternity. God created man an eternal being, and you will spend your eternity in one of two places: in heaven with God, in the city of God, dwelling with Him, or you will spend it in hell, under the wrath of God, separated from God. Your eternity will be in one of those two places. But I'm glad to say this morning, if you're saved,
You can have joy in that great hope. What the Bible calls the blessed hope. Hey, listen, I don't know. I say all the time, I know I'm going to heaven. And listen, I believe that. Hear me right here. I've not yet seen heaven. I've not yet seen Jesus face to face. But I have hope. Based on the promises of God. And every time I see God move. Every time I feel the Spirit of God. Every time I experience the power of God. That hope builds stronger and stronger in my heart. It's like an anchor on a boat. Hey, listen, you can put that anchor out, but sometimes it takes it a little while to get good and latched in. But every time God moves in my life and I experience the power of God, it's like that anchor digs a little bit deeper and the chain gets a little bit tighter. And I know that I know that I know what's coming down the road.
Amen.
Joy and hope. James chapter 1 says we can have joy in temptation. Now this is tough. Y'all all right? Say amen.
Amen.
Listen to this. James chapter 1 verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You know how I know that joy and happiness ain't the same thing? Because there ain't no way you could insert the word happiness into this verse right here. Because I ain't never been happy about falling into temptation. But he says that we can have joy. How's that? Look at verse number 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know why you can have joy in temptation? Because every temptation that you overcome brings you one step closer to the God of all glory. The way we become like Him is to experience what He experienced and to do what He did. The Bible says that He was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. He understands what it's like for us to have to deal with the temptations of this world. And we can derive joy from the fact that we know that that brings us closer to Him. Hey, listen, I ain't going to sit here and say that I welcome temptation, but I do like victory. Amen. I like it when I see God get me through some stuff. Even though I may not like going through the stuff that I got to go through to get there, every time God wins a victory on the battlefield of my life, I remember how good He is, and it brings joy into my life. Joy in temptation. And let me give you this. Joy in His return. Say, preacher, I just don't have nothing to derive joy from in my life. Things ain't good. My home life's bad. I ain't got no money. My dog got run over. Hey, man, my woman, listen, some of us' life's like a country song. Hey, man, I mean, my woman left. The water's low. My dog run off. My roof's leaking. I heard a preacher one time. This don't have nothing to do with my message. I'm just trying to make y'all smile a little bit. I heard a preacher one time say getting saved is like playing a country song backwards. You get your dog back. You get your wife back. You get your house back. You get your life back. Amen. Listen to me. There's a whole lot of truth right there. Listen, if you ain't got nothing else to joy in, look at John chapter number 16 and verse number 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. That's interesting. Say, preacher, things are hard right now. Yeah, that's just how he said it was going to be. He just said there's going to come a time when the church will be weeping and the world will be rejoicing. I don't know if y'all have looked around lately, but I feel like we're pretty much living in that right now.
Amen.
Seems like the church is down and the world's up.
Amen.
Listen to this. Your sorrow, but your sorrow, not theirs, yours, shall be turned into joy. Say, how is that? Look at this next verse. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish
for joy that a man has brought into the world. Hold on a minute. It's an interesting metaphor. Every mother in here is going to deeply understand this metaphor. He said that a woman, when she is in travail, giving birth, y'all with me, say amen, hath sorrow. That's the truth. Say, why, preacher? Because it hurts. It's uncomfortable. It don't seem like it's never going to end. I mean, really, there's a moment. Y'all women know this, but a lot of y'all men that's been in the room know this too. There's a moment in there. I remember all three of my kids. I don't remember everything about everything, but all three of my youngins, when they were born, I remember vividly this moment, Brother Highland. There's a moment in there when I thought to myself, this is never going to end. What this is, this it's, I mean, I thought, she's gone, the baby's gone, everything. Now, what are we going to do? Panic. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But it's amazing when that child is delivered. The Bible used that word delivered. That's a good word. Delivered. All of a sudden, everything's all right. All of a sudden, the Bible says she forgets her sorrow. And it turns into joy. Look at verse number 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Here's where we're at right now. The Bible says that the whole creation groaneth together in travail. Because, here's why. Because the children of God have not yet been fully delivered.
Amen.
I look around and I think, man, this sorrow ain't never going to end. How can it get any better? We're going down the tubes. But hear me and hear me well. There's going to come a day when we are fully delivered.
Amen.
When we have passed through the time of travail and we are redeemed. The Bible says, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel and the trump of God. And we, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we, which are alive and remain, will be caught up. That's such a good word, caught up. I don't use Greek a whole lot, but I like that one. The Greek word right there in that 1 Thessalonians 4 for caught up is the word harpazo. That's the same word that's used to derive the word harpoon. To be caught up and out. To be snatched forth. I'm glad I ain't got to climb the ladder on that day, Hunter. I'm going to get snatched out. Hey, delivered fully. And on that day, in that moment, my sorrow will be turned fully into joy. And I won't be thinking about how hard it was to live in this world. I'll be thinking about how good it is to be fully delivered.
Amen.
How do we get joy? We have joy in salvation, joy in hope, joy in our temptation, joy in the return of Christ. But let me show you this. From who do we derive joy? This is important. If you miss this, you've missed it. It's not enough to know how to have joy, how your joy comes about. You need to know who is your joy based on. Because listen to me now. I feel like I've said this a lot, but I got to preach you the truth. Amen. If you derive your joy from me, it's going to be short-lived. You can say amen right there. It's okay. Same goes for you. I can't listen. Everybody okay? We have a lot of people come through here, you know. And thank God for visitors. Thank God for people who want to become a part of the church. But understand, sometimes they don't stick, and that's okay too. But a lot of times when they don't stick, I've gotten to a place where
When the first thing somebody says to me, when I first meet them here, is, I just enjoy your preaching so much. It scares me. Because, listen, if that's what you're basing this thing on, I'm going to disappoint you eventually. I'm going to do one of two things. I'm either going to get up here and we in the preaching world call it laying an egg. I'm talking about flop. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Preach one and then at the end of it, everybody's looking around going, what in the world was he even talking about? Amen. I'm capable, for sure. Or I'm going to say something you don't like. And either way, the result's the same. If you're deriving your joy from me, if you're happy because I'm here, I'm telling you right now, there's going to be a day when I ain't here no more. Y'all understand that?
Amen.
If the only way you can have joy is for me to be a part of your life, one way or the other, that's going to come to a close at some point. So if you're deriving your joy, some of us derive our joy. I tell you what a struggle as a pastor that I've had to struggle with is I have to be very careful not to derive my joy from things like the church is full on Sunday morning. And thank God for a full church on Sunday morning. I'm glad we got a good crowd this morning. But sometimes it ain't, Brian.
That's right.
So what's changed? Nothing. Nothing about where my joy comes from has changed. Let me show you something. Isaiah 61, verse number 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. If you're trying to find joy in anything other than Him, you're going to fail. You're going to miss it. Because everything else is temporary. Everything else is temporal. The only thing in this world that is not temporary is the one that created it. The difference in Him and everything in creation is created by Him. So when we derive our joy from the things of this world, they are always temporary. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 8. This is pretty interesting to me. Listen to this. Whom having not seen, talking about Jesus, you love. In whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Let me say this. Let me give you this morning. When you believe Him, it's what this verse says now. When you believe Him, you have already received what the Bible calls right here the end of your faith. So what is that? Verse number 9 says the end of your faith is the salvation of your soul. Not serving Him, not working for Him, not even pleasing Him or even being able to do so. But by believing Him, you have received that salvation, which is the end all and be all. There is nothing that is more important than that. And that is why our joy is so unspeakable, because it is derived from the gift of grace that God has bestowed upon us. It comes from something that we can't even really understand. That's what's so amazing about it. When God saved you, you didn't even really understand what it meant to be saved.
Yeah.
When God saved you, you didn't even really understand what was happening. There was so much that you didn't know on that day, yet He still gave you everything He had to give. He didn't progressively wait for you to get more knowledge or to get more, get to work more, or to give more, or to do more, or to preach more. He gave you everything at one time. Hallelujah. On November 10th, 2013, I couldn't have sung you all the verses of Amazing Grace. I couldn't have quoted you John 3:16. But I asked God to save me, and He saved me fully for eternity.
Amen.
All at one time.
Amen.
That's joy unspeakable.
And let me give you this. I'm almost done. Last time I did this study, a long time ago, that was it. I ended it right there. And that's pretty good. But I got thinking about this thing. And I thought, wait a minute now. I'm glad we know where our joy comes from. I'm glad we know who our joy comes from. But the Bible says that these are the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit's on the outside of the tree, amen? If fruit ain't on the outside of the tree, you can't harvest the fruit. Right? So here's what I got thinking. Lord, how do we express this joy that is within us? Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to slow down just a little bit. Let you turn with me. Hebrews chapter number 12. I want you to get this. I don't have time to preach the entire chapter of Hebrews chapter 12 here, but I'll give you some stuff. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 2. Let's back up to verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, I've heard that interpreted a whole lot of different ways. Thank God for the angels. Thank God for the heavenly beings and those that are going on and all that stuff. But look up here. I got 66 witnesses right here in my hand. I'm compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. That means I got a whole lot of people I can go to for answers. Y'all with me? Say amen. Therefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience. Run with patience. Hey, Christian, run with patience. I'm gonna stop right there. Run with patience. Hey, it ain't gonna all be perfect tomorrow. You are not going to be the perfect Christian by the end of this sermon. Or by the end of this week, or by the end of this month, or by the end of this year. Probably not by the end of your lifetime. That's why you gotta run with patience the race that is set before us. Listen to this. How do we do that, preacher? Looking unto Jesus. We're going to do it the same way He did it. Y'all ready for this? The author and finisher of our faith. This is where it gets good.
Everybody okay? Say amen. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm 10 minutes from done.
Who for the joy. Y'all circle that word in your Bible. Joy. Because this ain't going to make no sense if you don't hear what I'm fixing to say. For the joy that was set before Him.
Alright, Jesus was operating because of the joy of what He could see set before Him. And in that pursuit, listen to this, He endured the cross,
despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Jesus walked in joy based on what He could see, His hope. We have brought down, condescended that word hope in our society, but hear me right here. Hope is what we have in Jesus, right? That's what hope is, what Jesus had in what was on the other side of the cross. All right? In His pursuit of what he was deriving his joy in, are y'all listening to me? He had to endure some hard stuff to get there.
How do we express joy?
By living sacrificially between here and there.
Jesus
had joy because he knew that his suffering was going to lead to salvation. I said, "Preacher, how can I have joy in a time of suffering?" You got to learn how to look beyond that. According to your Bible, let me give you a couple of things that you need to know. The Bible says that God will not suffer a man to be tempted above that which he is able to bear, but will with every temptation provide a way of escape. Say, "Preacher, I'm in a hard temptation right now." We ought to take joy in the fact that you can know that God has provided you a way of escape. "Preacher, I'm going through some hard stuff right now." Well, hey, listen. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from above. If I, as an earthly father, is evil, know how to give good gifts to my children, how much more does God know how to give good gifts to those that love? Are y'all listening to me? Say amen. That means that even in our times of suffering, by being willing to endure,
we can express our joy to the world. You know how people can see that fruit of the Spirit in your life? They see it when you don't quit and get destroyed by every little thing that comes by.
You know what the world needs to see from the church? They need to see us endure some things. Joy will make you endure because there's hope on the other side. I know. That's why James said, "Rejoice in temptation, for temptation worketh patience." God's teaching you something in that time of suffering. God's accomplishing something in that time of sacrifice. God is working on something in your life.
We express joy by living sacrificially, by enduring. We express joy. This one right here, these next two, if you ain't listening to nothing else I say, wake up right now and hear what I'm fixing to say. Because if the church in
2024 could get a hold of what I'm fixing to show you, hey, me included, there's no telling what God could do.
Philippians chapter number 4. And we'll start in verse number 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." Notice that this is in this chapter here. Paul is giving instruction for day to day. "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." That means, listen. Don't matter what the circumstances are. Y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
"Let your moderation be known to all men."
Let me show you how I deal with me. Okay? Because I had to look up and study out this word moderation because I didn't fully understand it. But you look right here, dude. I got that word underlined right here beside it in my Bible. See what I wrote right there? Don't freak out.
You know what moderation is? Moderation is not responding, knee-jerk reacting to every single circumstance. Don't freak out. Why? Look at that next phrase. "The Lord is at hand." You know what that hand means? That means that your hand can touch his hand because he's that close. That means all you need to do is close your hand and you've done grabbed hold to him. "Be careful for nothing, But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So how do we express joy in this world, preacher? We express joy by living contently. We express joy by not being blown about by every wind of circumstance. See, how do we express joy, preacher? We don't let the world dictate how we worship. We don't let the world dictate how we feel day to day. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. It does not change God. The beauty of God is the solidity of God. In Malachi 3, he told Israel, I am the Lord and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen, I'm preaching to some people that are living in modern day America. So are we all right?
Yeah.
Listen, just a couple weeks ago, this is where we're at. Everybody okay? I'm almost to the last point. It's going to be all right. This is where we're at. Just a few weeks ago, Wilson, North Carolina, world's greatest tobacco market. Amen. I'm talking about country as cornbread and butter beans. Right? There ain't many places on earth left. I mean, country, backwoods. Everybody okay? Wilson, North Carolina. And just about 2 or 3 weeks ago, downtown, down there, the Whirly Dervish down there, they had the gay pride parade going down there. Wilson, North Carolina. That's where we're at, folks. You listen to me? That's where we're at. Like it or not, that's where we're living. And if your joy, if you are not able to continue on because of that, everybody can see that. So how are we going to respond to that, preacher? Moderation. You know what we're going to do? You know what we're going to do? You know what we did the next day after they did that? Had church.
Amen.
Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Said, so what do we do the next week? Have church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know why? Because they ain't us, we ain't them. Nothing they does has no impact on what we're doing here.
Amen.
That's called moderation. Hey, listen. I don't like it. You don't like it. But at the end of the day, it doesn't change anything. Our response to this world. The reason why there's a lot of churches that have made themselves into a sideshow because they react to everything. That's why, hey, by the way, that's why your preacher is off of social media for a long time. Because I don't need to react to everything. Number one, nobody cares what I think. Number two, even if they did, hey, listen, God didn't call me to give my opinion on everything that comes by. God called me to preach the Word of God.
Yeah.
God didn't call you to give your opinion on everything that comes by. God called you to be a servant of God.
Yeah.
Amen. Moderation. Because, I'm telling you now, in COVID, we saw it. I'm talking to you now, and then I'm going to preach you this last point, okay? COVID, we saw it. There's churches right now. That's truth. There's churches right now that they ain't never come back from that. They're gone. If they're still not having services now, they're gone. You say, why? Because they reacted without moderation. They responded to everything like that. Moderation brings peace. Peace is a building block to joy. You understand? Joy is maybe the outcropping of inner peace. You can't have joy if you ain't got no peace, man. And a lot of us ain't got no peace because we ain't got no moderation.
Some of y'all, I'm telling you, some of y'all for the last few months and leading up to this election are so toy. You say, preacher, why do you get on this all the time? Because I like, hey, listen, it's my job to preach on stuff that my people are dealing with.
Yeah.
All right. I don't think none of y'all is getting ready to change genders or nothing like that. If you do, we'll preach on that. We'll deal with that next time. All right. But listen, I think there's a whole lot of y'all that are going to go home tonight and turn on Fox News and get plumb tore out of the frame over something. Look up in here. If Trump wins, God's still God.
Yeah.
If Biden wins, God's still God.
Right.
If the next assassination attempt is works out, God's still God.
Right.
If they burn down the White House, God's still God. So what is that? Bring us moderation. And bring you some peace. And peace
will allow you to express joy. How do we express joy? Let me give you this. I'll be done. Psalm 5, verse 11. Some of y'all done got used to me preaching 20 minutes. Y'all might as well get over that. What you call a temporary reprieve. Psalm 5, verse 11. Listen to this. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Now, notice this. I love this.
Notice after that word rejoice, what we got right there. A colon, two dots.
You know what that means? That means he's fixing to give some specifics on that. Fixing to expound on that. Everybody okay?
Mm-hmm.
How do we do it, preacher? Listen to this. Let them ever shout for joy.
You know how you can exude joy?
You know how you can express joy? By openly worshiping the one from whom your joy is derived.
Some of y'all, if every once in a while the preacher was preaching, just wait till everybody else starts saying something and just do this for me. Just you can whisper. Just say, amen. When the singing's going on and you feel that little tug on your heart, just say, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm telling you right now, there's something about the joy coming from the inside of you to the outside. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. A vocal praise will help you with your joy. Some of y'all are so quiet, you don't even know if you believe it. I tell you what, a vocal expression of your joy, I tell you what it'll do. It'll change your life and it'll change those around you.
Right.
Amen. I'm serious. Y'all can listen. This is not the preacher trying to get y'all worked up. I'm telling you from my own experience. It was a good day in my life when I got over whatever everybody else thought in the church and decided that I was going to worship him with my voice.
You know?
Changed my life, gave me an outlet to express my joy. Y'all, hey, I tell you what, church, you ought to thank God. Hunter's coming to the piano. You ought to thank God that you are part of a church that allows you to vocally worship God.
Amen.
Because I'm telling you, there's a plenty of them that if you hollered amen in the middle of the service is over. Because we're going to have to stop and deal with whatever's going on with you. I'm glad to be a part of a church that allows me to tell God what I'm feeling on the inside. You say, God knows what I'm feeling on the inside. Hey, but if we go by that standard, then why even pray? Why even sing? If God knows what's on the inside and he doesn't desire anything beyond that, then
why does any of this matter? But your Bible says that the worship of God is the fruit of your lips. Matter of fact, your Bible says that God inhabits the praise of His people. Psalm 150 says to worship Him with your voice. Joy. Be real good. It'll help your joy. You ever get to the place where you're willing to worship Him openly? Why don't you stand together, heads are bowed and eyes are closed.